Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. And the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time? Doesn't matter what the scenario. Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Chimichurri.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretch.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
We should give some lines from this to DBJ next season. Another way to call a cat a kitten. What does that mean?
I'll tell you off air. OPP.
Solana, what happened last night? The Heat forgot to pack their magic dust? You know, that dust they sprinkle on whoever they trot out there on the court and they just become a championship team?
Nah, I'm just glad Chris Greer finally confirmed it's time to invest in the offensive line. you nailed it. We're so close. Our guy finally realized time to get some fat guys to protect our quarterback.
I lost money on the Heat, man. You had that thing locked up, man.
They were up by how many late in the fourth there, Solana?
Double digits.
Khloe Ware hits two free throws. The Heat take a 17-point lead with 8 minutes and 7 seconds remaining.
Wow. That is an epic collapse.
24-7 run the rest of the way.
You know what you need in that situation? You need a guy who can hang out in the corner and spot up shoot some threes. Is there a guy like that available?
Put Jimmy in that game. The game's not changing.
I'm just teasing. Just teasing, Solana. Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel spoke to the media. I'm going to read you. We'll have some sound later on during the show. They're talking about it on ESPN right now. But I was reading some David Furonis tweets, David Furonis from the Sun Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
Greer says McDaniel and him had productive conversations with Tyreek Hill yesterday. He said he'll keep those conversations internal, but said he believed it was frustration Hill was expressing.
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
No, it's very fair. And you got to know what you're dealing with.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, this is so synonymous with the Jimmy Butler situation. You can't act surprised if you know the track record.
Yeah. If Tua comes out and say, I might not be here, it's surprised. Like,
right.
It's Tyreek. Right. Like, understand what you're dealing with.
Tua gets a concussion. Can't be surprised.
No. Let me tell you a story about the frog and the scorpion again.
Nah, we're good with that one.
Okay.
Chris Greer said Tyreek Hill never backtracked on his wishes to play elsewhere, but he also hasn't asked for a trade. On the backup quarterback situation, Chris Greer said the Dolphins finished as a runner-up for a couple of backup quarterbacks last offseason, but financial restraints and other factors didn't allow them to land them.
That's a lie.
I think that's a lie as well. I think he's trying to intimate that this wasn't his first choice, second choice, or third choice, that they just didn't get the guy that they really wanted. I think that's revisionist history. Not to call someone a liar, because I don't know any, you know, but it seems revisionist.
You're not calling him a liar. You kept Skylar Thompson here for 3 years. It's not like you were shuffling through backups.
Right.
You believed in Skylar. Yeah. Like I say, to be honest, Chris Greer's my buddy. Me and Chris Greer hug when we see each other. Like, he came to Florida to work me out. Like, Chris Greer, I know him personally, but you kept Skylar Thompson around way too long. Skylar Thompson should not have been here for 3 years.
Chris Greer on Tua. He needs to be available. He needs to protect himself. Not being available for taking chances and risks is unacceptable to us.
Sounds good, but NFL quarterbacks are going to get hit by other big men.
Chris Greer, quote, we're going to have to invest in the offensive line now.
Oh.
Like I said, problem is solved. That's why I said yesterday that they're close, because that's an identifiable problem. He now agrees, and we're that much closer.
But they've brought in offensive lineman free agency. They've drafted offensive lineman Austin Jackson and those guys Hunt
Patrick
and all.
Paul, he's going to be Patrick better.
He's tried to address the offensive line and it hasn't worked. I'm with you, Chris, but who's making those decisions? You again? I question it. I have to question it because I've seen the last 6 years.
Dolphins GM Chris Greer said the team had conversations with Javon Holland and his agent David Mugaleta. How do you know that guy? Oh, he's Athletes First?
Yeah, he's Athletes First. David's one of the top agents in the league. He has everybody.
Chris Greer said the team had conversations with Javon and his agent. Those were put on hold for the season and will be back on the table now. Javon's been a good player here. Watched him grow on and off the field. Just as an aside, I ran into Javon about 30 minutes ago here in Boca. Downstairs. I had a cappuccino and a croissant, a little joint downstairs, and it's such a nice day. So I'm walking, you know, through the plaza, and there's a podcast studio right here in downtown Boca. And I happened to be talking to Len, our program director, just shooting the bleep with Len. And I thought I heard someone yell Hawk, but I didn't pay much attention to it, and I just kept walking. And I heard it again, Hawk. And I turned around because it was right at the podcast studio. And I turn around, and it's Javon. And he was recording his podcast. I don't know if you've seen. He does a podcast with two other guys. It's pretty successful. Pretty good podcast. We talked a little bit because he was talking about you, about how he really enjoyed being on the show. And even though he's still playing, he wants to wait till after he's done playing for a broadcast career. He enjoyed doing the weekly show with us last year. And I was like, yeah, Crowder did radio while he was playing. And he said, yeah, I've enjoyed it a lot. We had tried to put together a deal with him. He had said to me again today, yeah, I wish we could have done something during the season. We just couldn't get it done with a third-party sponsor. And he said, this tickled me. He said, I got to tell you something. With my uncle in the car the other day, and my uncle turns to me. He says, I'm hungry. Let's go get a za. And he goes, you got to be bleeping kidding me. He goes, I couldn't believe it. He goes, that's the second time in my life that I've heard that, but this time it came from my uncle. I said, that's my dude. And I said, and also, don't forget, it's Sherbet, not Sherbert. And he's like, nah, I'll never forget that again.
Javon's a good dude. And he actually, I think he said he loves South Florida. I don't know if he's going back to California, but he's about to be a very rich man.
He is going to be a very wealthy man. I asked him, I'm not going to share on the air. I asked him about his situation. I won't share it on the air because I'm not a newsbreaker. And it was just a conversation with a friend. But the first thing I said when I saw him was, so you gonzo? But I won't tell you what the...
I don't think they can pay a safety $15 to $20 million this year.
I think they have other needs, unfortunately, for us, because I like him a lot, but he's going to get paid.
Yes.
Dolphins and, GM, these are more David Fioronis tweets.
Just one more thing on Javon. Javon was very successful in the Fangio defense, and he was less successful in the Weaver defense. So you can look at the scheme and see what type of coach wants him to play and how they want him to play.
You know, it's funny. I asked him because we were staying and there's a tree and there's, you know, like mulch and rocks and stuff. And I said, hey, do you want to do a video, me and you kicking rocks just in case Weaver takes the Chicago job?
Yeah, let's let him get his money first, Hawk.
Yeah, yeah. I always go a little too far.
Always push it.
This is from David Fioronis. Dolphins GM Chris Greer said requests from the Bears and Saints have been granted to interview Anthony Weaver for their head coaching vacancies. Mike McDaniel says he will continue to call plays for Miami's offense next season. Quote, I always consider it. Delegating the play calling duties. I think the team's best served with me calling plays. The second that changes, I'll change it.
I would love to know if somebody consults with him or if he has a second voice or consultants of that.
Well, he may have a second voice, but he's coming from his own head.
It's Mike and Michael.
Maybe bring in someone for short yardage situations. Short yardage goal line situation.
Have the opportunity or the scheme to run downhill and try to physically whoop somebody. But that comes back to the offensive line rebuilding. Get some ass kickers. Don't get graceful people.
Dolphins GM Chris Greer said no concern over Tua's hip regarding next season. Chris Greer says veteran DT Calais Campbell indicated to the Dolphins that if he does decide to return to football next season, Miami will be in strong consideration as he enjoyed his time down here.
He gone.
So there's some notes. Looking at what Joe Shad tweeted. Chris Greer on the backup QB situation. Skylar Thompson almost won a playoff game. We were excited about him and his growth. That said, we were in on a number of top flight backup quarterbacks in the league and were runner up on a few. We couldn't go to the price. It's a position we don't take lightly.
It's a lie.
Marcel Louis Jacques tweets, Dolphins GM Chris Greer said, we will get this fixed. And that's all I need to hear.
Shad had a really good question at the end of the press conference, though, where he asked Chris Greer why, you know, 5 or 6 years after a reset, they haven't had playoff success. And Greer said that's a fair question. And I was surprised because he had already stated unacceptable that Tua Tagovailoa is missing games. He has to protect himself. Like, he had talked about that when asked about Tua earlier. And responding to Joe Shad's question, he doubled down on Tua. And he said specifically, 6.5 games for our starting quarterback is unacceptable to not be out there. Like, he really hammered that point home that Tua Tagovailoa is the most important piece to this roster, that the rest of the guys told Tua how important he was, and that he has to be available, period, end of story.
Well, don't put him on IR. It's the first step to making him available.
I understand what they're saying. I don't want to just scream lie every time, but to Hawk's point, why did you put him on IR? Why did you not let him play? He said he wanted to play last week. I know if they'd have beat the Jets, it wouldn't have meant anything because Broncos won. But why wouldn't you let him play? He told me he wants to play.
Because if there's a chance that he gets tackled and it leads to further injuring his hip and then he has to have off-season surgery, Crowder, for a game that was meaningless, then today we'd all be crushing the decision to put Tua Tagovailoa under center.
There's a chance for me to get in a car accident and break my arm driving to the gas station. I need gas.
Okay, but, I mean, your quarterback has literally shown you injury history, and it was a game that was meaningless. Ultimately, it was meaningless.
It wasn't meaningless because you're doing revisionist history because we did not know the outcome of the Kansas City-Denver game until the Kansas City-Denver game was over.
And the week before. And the week before.
The man should have played. I mean, yes, he should have played.
Well, you can't say he should have played because you really don't know the situation. I think he's more injured than they're letting
out. There.
I think he's more injured than they're letting out.
Put him in a wheelchair.
But I trust in Greer.
Wheelchair.
We have to get the headlines. Josh Appel's going to join us. We're going to play Talk About It Tuesday. At conversation, Zach Gelb was texting me this morning about the Tyreek and Mike McDaniel stuff. And it's like he had a question. I don't know if we have time to do this now, but kind of keep it in your back pocket. He said to me, is there any coach in the NFL who's still with their team whose stock dropped more this season than Mike McDaniel?
First one pops up is Kyle Shanahan.
But yes, his stock dropped, but Kyle Shanahan went to 3 straight NFC championship games and has had perennial success. And, I mean, you want to talk about injuries, go look at that roster.
Yeah, it was but what about our injuries too?
We're not allowed to use context when it comes to the Dolphins, not for Solana.
No, but there's a difference between you've been a perennial playoff contender. You've gone to a Super Bowl, 3 straight NFC Championship games.
There's no question who the better coach is, who has the better history, and who anyone would take to coach their team over the other one. I understand what you're saying. Shanahan's stock dropped. But I think Mike McDaniel, I gotta look at all the other teams and who kept their coach. And
Antonio Pierce is the only one, even though he might end up still being fired. But Antonio Pierce.
His stock was that high.
Was his stock that high, right?
Yeah.
His first full season?
Yes, he was interim last year and they gave him I don't think people thought Antonio
Pierce. Mike McDaniel's stock was through the roof, I believe, after season one.
Yeah. What about McCarthy? 12-5, 12-5, 12-5, and now 7-10.
So, to Solana's point, he has the track record of success, and also there's a little caveat in there, which is still under contract. His contract is up next week. So, I'm not even certain that he would apply to what Gelb was saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, talk about it today. Let's get headlines here for the 2 o'clock hour with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Solana probably is going to be a little cranky the next couple of days because the Heat are playing late night and they've got the back-to-backs. They forgot to pack the magic dust. This is very difficult times for Solana. But headlines are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. And remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
Now, the fact is, your mood lightens me up because, you know, the Dolphins missed the playoffs again. They didn't win a playoff game for the 25th year. And the GM, who has kept everything status quo, who hasn't been able to turn the franchise around, told you that, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to take it from here again, and everything's going to be fine. And that's your wheelhouse. So your mood is enlightening mine.
I've gotten everything that I wanted. I'm thrilled.
Yeah,
I'm in a good mood. I'm imagining you didn't want to blow a 17-point lead last night in the fourth quarter.
If this Jaime Jaquez Jr. could just make 2 free throws.
Boy, those were brutal misses.
Man.
That was embarrassing. Man. That whole fourth quarter was embarrassing.
You have a 2-point lead. The Kings come charging all the way back. You have a 2-point lead for Tyler Hero, who's been outstanding this year, all that stuff. But for Tyler Hero to get an 8-second violation called on him, and there wasn't even a full court trap It was pressure, but it wasn't a full court trap. To just go gallivanting with the ball and get called for an 8-second violation after what happened to you against Utah, you've already blown a 17-point lead. It's down to 2, and there's a minute left in the game. You get called for an 8-second violation. Oh, my God, man.
I can't even begin to tell you in my career how many 8-second violations I've had.
Gallivant.
Oh, a good word. For. I'm known for the 8-second violation.
You don't gallivant in it?
That is me gallivanting.
Do you guys want to hear, I guess we can do it a little bit later, but if you want, you can hear the opening statement from Chris Greer when he sat down today to the rest of the media.
First, I'd just say disappointed, 8-9. That's not the standard here. It hasn't been and it won't be. We will be better, and that includes everyone from myself to Mike, coaching staff, players. We had expectations, which were created by the excitement of the last couple years. And we had hoped to continue it, and for various circumstances, it didn't happen this year. And it was unacceptable. No one's happy. And we will get this fixed, very confident in our process. And looking forward to 2025 and not being out of the playoffs, watching other teams play.
I mean, he's not incorrect. Is that their first losing season since when?
They
had to be 3-4 seasons,
five,
right?
5 years ago. This would have been 5 straight winning seasons in Miami.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, by the way, has changed his Twitter avatar or X avatar back to him in a Miami Dolphins jersey.
Yeah, he's emotional. Like,
yes, he loves the social media stuff. Yeah. Dwayne Wade loved it too. At the end, they all love putting out these cryptic tweets and that, where they don't have to acknowledge that they actually said anything. And if you took it a certain way, it's because you read it a certain way. It wasn't what they intended. That's the world that we live in.
Yep. LeBron did it too when he was here. He does it all the time. But they just, it's the new age athlete. They have power. That's the thing that I think those old guys have to get over. They have power.
Hey, guys. The Miami Heat play again tonight in Golden State. In case you didn't know, 10 p.m. tip-off, second night of a back-to-back.
My guy, we're going to get a little preview of our Cucamonga.
Kuminga's got the ball, son.
But I'll give you a little sweetener before the Heat take on the Warriors tonight. The Timberwolves are in New Orleans. They're going to face the Pelicans.
Yes, I know.
And your guy, Crowder, Zion Williamson.
He's back, baby.
Is back.
He is back. They're going to showcase him for the Heat tonight. I'm very excited.
Showcase him. That's a big case.
I'm putting cases on all.
He needs all the cases.
The Panthers.
Cases, sausage.
The Panthers lost to the Avalanche 3-1 yesterday. It's been tough sledding for the Cats, but they're going to try to bounce back mañana. They're in Utah to face the Utah Hockey Club. That'll be at 10 p.m.
Yeti.
UHC, the Utah Hockey Club, Hawk. They might end up just keeping that.
Okay.
According to my sources. Yeah.
Utah. To my sources.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7. Another gorgeous afternoon in South Florida. It's chilly.
Somebody says Kuminga's not even playing. Is that true?
He was out. He twisted his ankle or sprained his ankle. So he has been out and will continue to be out.
Sail low.
Well, there is Jimmy Butler. We didn't have enough time.
We don't want to sell low.
Trey Form injured.
We didn't have enough time to get into it, but there is, you know, a lot of Jimmy Butler news. Crispy Haynes, my guy, Crispy Haynes, as he's referred to on the show, he reported that He's heard from sources that teams around the league who have inquired about Jimmy Butler have been told, hey, Jimmy doesn't want to play for you. Jimmy doesn't want
to
play there.
The dude wants to go to Phoenix. I mean, yeah. He apparently doesn't want to go to Milwaukee, doesn't want to go to Memphis. He's not interested in going to Golden State. Dude wants to play in Phoenix, period, end of story. Problem is, nobody on Phoenix entices Riley.
Yeah.
And so now you got a three-team deal that you're going to have to work out, and it would include, from what I read, Bradley Beal dropping his no-trade clause. And so now people are going through hoops, and I don't know, I don't know if they can get something like that done. I don't know.
I also don't know if Phoenix is doing themselves any favors by pushing Bradley Beal to the pine last night, even though he had a good game off the bench, but they took him out of the starting lineup. They won versus the Sixers, but he was asked after the game, like, do you think you being moved to the second unit is a bigger sign about your future here in Phoenix? And he's like, well, I don't know. I hold all the cards. So good luck.
He does. Yeah.
He does.
Yeah. Again, it's in the mid to low 70s. It'll get even chillier tonight into the low 60s. That is your weather.
All right, Josh Appel is going to join us in the next segment.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Why not take all the garbage on Earth, drop it into volcanoes?
Hawk and Crowder.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks. Plus, you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
All this week, by the way, we're giving away tickets to see George Lopez at Hard Rock Live next month. And you just listen to us all week long. If you want to purchase tickets, go to casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood. Again, I'm convinced there's a quicker URL to get to info on these tickets, but that's what's written. So I'll let you know. If you want to purchase George Lopez tickets, go to casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood or keep listening to us every day this week. On the Toyota of Hollywood hotline is Josh Appel from Sports USA, who was on the call nationally for the Green Bay game. He was in frozen Lambeau Field on Sunday. What was that like? We saw a viral video, you know, of them opening a bottle of water and the water just froze instantly. Is that the coldest game you've ever called?
The coldest game I've ever called, yes. But, I mean, I had 7 layers on. Walked the field for like 15 minutes before the game with James White, who I was calling it with. And honestly, tolerable. If you dress right, it's tolerable.
Interesting. Didn't affect you.
7 layers while you play, Josh.
I mean, listen, I do what I can. Sorry that you even have that ability. Now,
you know, today, by the way, Josh, is National Bobblehead Day.
Mm.
And you famously bring free bobbleheads to Crowder's Toy Drive.
We have some of the bobbleheads in our other room. Should I go grab one really quick?
No, it's fine.
We're good.
Just wanted to mention.
Did anybody take the one this year, by the way?
What's Crowder? That?
Did anybody take the Jake Berger, or was it Sandy Alcantara or Dontrell Willis? Who did I bring this year?
You had the Dontrell Willis one this year.
Did anyone take it?
It might be in my office. I love Dontrell.
Appel loved the kids. So yesterday, Appel, I was on an island on this show, on the text machine, on Twitter. I was on an island, but I am a supporter of retaining Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel and Tua. I called them the big three. Crowder and Solana poked holes in that. But I do think starting the next season, and I don't mean big three, like they're dominant like a big three, but those are the three key cogs of this Dolphins team, in my opinion. I don't think they're near a point where they need to blow it up. And I don't think they're near a point where they start to, you know, really reconfigure what this team is, because I think they're a lot closer than Crowder and Solana think. So I was happy that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel and obviously Tua will be back. Where do you stand on that?
So I'm not like super passionate about being upset or happy that they ended up retaining Chris Greer. I can see the arguments that people would have for not retaining him. I mean, just on the front end, what GM survives six seasons without a single playoff win? I don't think you're going to find very many. But also, I don't think, like, a lot of the things that happened to them this season were out of their control, right? Like, I guess you should be able to plan for your quarterback missing 6.5 games. Obviously, that was, like, the major difference. But at the same time, we saw them at full strength, and they weren't necessarily, the way they were currently constructed, a contender, right? Like, maybe they could win a playoff game if they got one at home, maybe two. But as far as being one of the top two, three, four teams in the entire league, which is what you need to be to win a Super Bowl, like, they're obviously not there yet. But I still think there are plenty of savvy moves that he's made that should earn him the right to at least try and correct this. Because, look, if they have this type of season again next year, we're going to have the conversation about McDaniel being gone, Greer being gone, and potentially them moving on from Tua as well. I think it puts him in a difficult spot when you extend your head coach this past offseason for 3 years to immediately then turn around and fire him at the end of this year. But, like, there is a lot of soul searching. I've said it on the show before. Like, there is a lot of soul searching that has to go on with Mike McDaniel and with Chris Greer on how they want to address the issues that have been glaring now for this 3-year tenure that McDaniel's been the head coach. And when we talk about how they're built, I don't know how much of that is solely on Chris Greer or how much of what this team looks like is in the vision of what Mike McDaniel wanted. So I know Chris Greer has the final say, obviously, over everything, but I like the fact that they are collaborative and he has listened to his head coach for what he thinks is best for this team to have success. Now they got to recalibrate big time in this offseason and try and get it corrected.
And just to this conversation about Hawks, quote unquote, big three of what they do. But no, like Tua is, he's a good quarterback. The numbers, he can play in this league. He's top 10. We did top 13, I think Solana said, was at the lowest. So, and all that. But then when you don't have Tua as a head coach calling plays, you can only muster 12 points a game. But as a GM, you haven't put together, speaking of Chris Greer, the offensive line in the trenches like you want. Like, out of that big three, I don't like it. Running back, who would be the weakest link of that big three? Because my thing, and like I said, I don't like to fire people, but I would want somebody else to construct this roster over anyone else. Is Chris Greer the weakest link? Is it McDaniel? Because we see what he cannot function in offense without Tua Tagovailoa on the field. It's just so, it's so many different tentacles. Who's the weakest link?
I hate to say it is, because I do think that he is one of the better coaches the Dolphins have hired, and he's turned them into one of the more, this season aside, like the last 2 years before this have been some of the most enjoyable Dolphin teams that at least I've watched in my life. But at the same time today, he was talking about in his press conference how many guys were showing up late and how many times he had to find people and how that didn't work. And you've got Tyreek removing himself from games and that whole situation. And it just feels like one of the fears that when the Dolphins first hired McDaniel, all right, well, when things go south, can he hold a locker room together? Is there too much freedom when he tries to be buddy-buddy with these guys? Is he able to toe that line? And I think we're starting to see some of the results of him not being able to figure that out quite yet. There's no doubt that there's talent here. Whether that talent can rise to the level they need, obviously, has not happened yet. But if you're going to ask me which one of those three that I think is the weakest link, like, I think it's McDaniel. And I don't know. I feel kind of odd saying that because
I think you said that, Crowder, yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah. I think McDaniel is the weakest link.
I don't know if – I'm not saying the players don't respect Mike McDaniel, but, like, it's a pretty glaring indictment of this team that you can have the Tyreek Hill situation going on. You can have guys constantly showing up late to meetings and getting fined for it and it not making a difference. Like, to me, that speaks to a bigger issue of how they view their head coach. And I'm not saying they need to bring in like a Brian Flores type again, right? Like, there has to be a middle ground between the authoritarian that is just a bleep hole to everybody and the coach who wants to be buddy-buddy. Because I think, like, Mike McDaniel in San Francisco, and obviously I wasn't there, this is just my conjecture and just how I'm kind of reading the situation. Like, Mike McDaniel was able to basically be good cop all the time at San Francisco. It was Kyle Shanahan who had to make the tough decisions with the guys on the roster. John Lynch out there. Like, McDaniel was able to build that type of relationship as an assistant. And I think he had trouble, again, towing that line when he became the head coach of, yeah, you want to build these good relationships with your guys, but also when he handles certain situations, he's not able to, like, really put his foot down. It just kind of falls on deaf ears because he doesn't, like, nah, I don't want to be like, oh, he doesn't talk right or doesn't look right, but, like, it just kind of feels like that, you know? Like,
yeah,
were guys showing up late like this for Nick Saban, Crowder, when you were playing here?
Like, no. And they and the respect, and I'm like, to your point, like, you don't want to say they don't respect him, but
I think they do.
It's some sort of fear that has to be there, some sort of repercussions that have to be there. And when you're playing for your buddy, like, I think it happened with Gerard Mayo up in New England, where it's like, bro, I was just on a team with you 2 years ago. Like, right. Yeah, bro, our wives go to dinner together on Thursday night. I just think it's that mid-ground. And I think Mike McDaniel is a very good play caller, but I don't know if he's ready to run an organization.
And I think we're finding that out in real time. I think the Dolphins, unfortunately, the last two hires they made have hired two guys who are really good at being coordinators and really not good enough to be the guy leading a football team.
But in my opinion, that goes back to the guy making the decisions in charge of the hiring process. You mentioned, Appel, how many GMs around the league get 6 years without meaningful success at the most important part of the season and get another opportunity to run it back. Chris Greer was the one who hired Brian Flores to lead a full rebuild, and then he got his own pick for the next head coach as well, and that was Mike McDaniel. And I just look around the league, which is what frustrates me. I look around the league. The Detroit Lions hired Dan Campbell in 2021. They're Super Bowl contenders. The Philadelphia Eagles, I know they won in 2018, but they kind of had a culture reset when they brought in a new head coach. They're back to contending. I mean, we can go down the list. The Minnesota Vikings, new head coach, new quarterback. They lose the quarterback. They go, they make a trade. They're contending. The Packers, who you just saw, like, I could go down the list here. The Chargers, new head coach, they're contending. The Texans, full rebuild in 2 years. They're back in the playoffs two straight years. The Broncos realized what the problem was, changed it with a new head coach. And here we are, year six with the Miami Dolphins. And to me, there's a common denominator. And Mike McDaniel, for sure, has issues. And I don't disagree with what you guys are saying, but the common denominator here is the owner and the guy he has in charge making all the decisions. And to me, we're just spinning the same cycle. Where next year, at the end of the day, this is the same team.
Yeah, and I think all that's fair. It's a really tough job, right? And I'm not, like, going to sit here and make excuses for Chris Greer. But if you look at, you know, the three playoff, was he officially the GM that first Gase season when they made the playoffs where Tannehill got hurt?
No, he technically, I think it was like him and Hickey, but I count it as right. Year one of Flo when they tanked that year.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then they get two of the following year, 2018 forward.
Because, like, he's made, if we're going to give him that Gase season, that's, you know, three playoff appearances in the six plus seasons or whatever, but two playoff seasons in the 6 years he's officially been the GM. And in, you know, one of them, his starting quarterback didn't play. They were starting a third string quarterback on the road in Buffalo. And last year, they were an epic collapse away from winning the division and hosting a playoff game and, you know, having the Steelers. And I know we've done this game before with that exact situation, but I mean, We're so close to having a different conversation that, to Hawk's point, it's difficult for me to argue that they need to just tear everything down again. I think that it was pretty telling when Chris Greer talked about Tua Tagovailoa in that press conference today and basically said, yeah, like, he's got to be better about taking care of himself and he needs to be available. That's pretty pointed, and I don't think he's really spoken about Tua that publicly. And also, Joe Shad, I think, had asked him that same question. How do you, you know, do a full teardown and rebuild, and here you are without a playoff win? And the first thing he said was, Tua Tagovailoa can't miss 6.5 games. So, look, it's the purgatory that it feels like the Dolphins are always in, right? But I still think they're closer to being a playoff team.
That's my argument. They're closer to that side than they are to that side, so it's folly to start ripping it apart.
And that doesn't mean, though, that, like, is the goal just to, like, be a playoff team and be a team that can just win a game?
Again, you're closer, I think, to the ultimate goal than you are further away from it. That's,
right.
Like, to me, that's the delineation you have to make. And I would say to Solana, because you actually brought something up that made me think about it. Like, if they beat Tennessee last season, they go to the playoffs, right?
They beat Tennessee.
It's a different situation. They don't play in Kansas City in that frozen game.
You mean,
right?
They're hosting a playoff game?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what did Chris Greer do wrong in that Tennessee game? Nothing. Like, no. He put the, in my opinion,
yeah,
had the right people out there on the field. He probably had the right defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio, even though you could argue that they were playing way too far back in a game that they're up 2 touchdowns, you know. But like, to me, Chris Greer constructed the team properly that they should be able to hold on to a 14-point lead with 3.5 minutes to go.
So, Hulk, this is the conversation then. And McDaniel, in that Tennessee game, if we're speaking of it, McDaniel should have said, hey, Fangio, bring some damn defensive back closer to the line of scrimmage. This is stupid. So it would make McDaniel the weakest link.
I just don't want to run it back. I disagree, Crowder. And look, you're right about that Tennessee game. Ridiculous. McDaniel, I think Tua in the offense, like, they deserve to take accountability for that. They were. And the Titans gifted them a touchdown with a fumble after the Dolphins got their first Raheem Mostert touchdown. Like, people forgot how bad the team played. But they still had a chance to go play Baltimore. They still had a chance to play Buffalo and salvage the season. And they were outclassed in those games. So, to me, when you're saying he built the right roster to be the 2 seed, I'm telling you, he built the right roster to beat bad teams, and they should have beaten Tennessee, no doubt. But every opportunity this team has had to go up against the teams that Pell talked about, the top 5-6 teams, the class of the league, it's not that they just lose. They are outclassed. They don't look like they belong on the same field. So I don't agree that he's built the right roster. I just don't.
I think that's totally fair, but like, again, there are legitimately, like, very savvy and very good moves that he's made. He signed, like, we want to talk about signing Jordan Poyer, and that hasn't been good. You know, letting Andrew Van Ginkle go, terrible, and signing Shaq Barrett. Like, I'm not going to argue any of that stuff. Thinking that Liam Eikenberg was a suitable replacement when you aren't able to afford to keep Robert Hunt. But at the same time, he signed an all-pro linebacker. Like, Jordan Brooks is probably going to be an all-pro. Zach Sealer, I think, has been, like, the best move that Greer has made since he's been here.
Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell. And Calais, apparently, if he plays next year, is open to being back with the Dolphins. Austin Jackson, before he got hurt, had finally developed into a first-round pick or a player that was worthy of being taken in the first round. We always used to make fun of Noah Igbinoghene. That dude's a top-10 slot corner in Washington this year and was solid in Dallas before. Like, there are guys that he finds, and I think he's actually a pretty good drafter. It's just when it gets time to retain these guys, I think that's where the missteps happen, and that's why, you know, we're seeing – you know, not Band-Aids, but, like, you're seeing a guy like Jordan Poyer getting signed, you know? And also, like, too, we haven't even talked about Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips essentially missing the entire season again this year. Like,
so these are huge. And I know we don't always want to give it context, but it is so huge.
Context comes off as excuses, and I don't want it to come off as an excuse, but all these things add up to what we saw from the Dolphins this year. And the goal, again, the goal is not just to make the postseason. It's to actually, like, be a contender. So if we know that, okay, they were this player, this bounce, or this injury or that injury away from being a 6 or a 7 seed again, but you still know kind of what the ceiling is, then yeah, like maybe you do move on. I don't know. I'm not as like pitchforks and flamethrowers and Molotov cocktails about Chris Greer being brought back or not. Like I don't think that they're going to, you know, be set back another decade if Chris Greer is the GM for another year and Mike McDaniel is the coach for one more, because one more year they can just decide, all right, not it, time to go. Like that's not, and if we're not talking about that, that means they had a good season and they're going to the postseason. So
the Lions lost 17 defenders and they're still number one seed in the NFC. So
look, hey, they're biting kneecaps. We're giving away wedding cakes. But we got that straightened out. We gotta go because we're up against a break. We love you, Josh. Josh Appel, happy National Bobblehead Day. Josh,
happy National Bobblehead Day.
What's your most valuable bobblehead?
I have a Roberto Luongo one. That's pretty cool.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. You know who that is, Crowder? Roberto Luongo.
Roberto. He said it wrong. Yeah. Luongo.
We were there at his retirement night, and
I think
called
him
Roberto Luongo. Roberto Luongo.
He's a good looking man.
Great hair. Oh, great hair. Yeah. Great hair. Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. That's Josh Appel from Sports USA, great national broadcaster for the NFL. Take a break, come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog, here.
Hawk and Crowder.